أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وإذا النفوس زوجت، وإذا الموءودة سئلت، بأي ذنب قتلت، وإذا الصحف نشرت، وإذا السماء كشطت، وإذا الجحيم سعرت، وإذا الجنة أزلفت، علمت نفس ما أحضرت. صدق الله العظيم. In our last session we talked about the first five ayahs of Surah At-Takwir, إذا الشمس كورت. And as I mentioned, that in those five ayahs, the six things that are mentioned there, in fact, six ayahs that we talked about, all the six things that are mentioned in these six ayahs will be at the time, they will take place at the time of the first blowing in the trumpet. Going quickly over these things, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِذَا الشَّمْسُ كُوِّرَتْ, when the sun will be overthrown. وَإِذَا النُّجُومُ انْكَدَرَتْ, when the stars will lose their light. وَإِذَا الْجِبَالُ سُيِّرَتْ, when the mountains will be moving or will be made to move. وَإِذَا الْعِشَارُ عُطِّلَتْ, when the 10-month pregnant camel will be neglected. وَإِذَا الْوُحُوشُ حُشِرَتْ, when the wild beast will be brought together. وَإِذَا الْبِحَارُ سُجِّرَتْ, when the oceans will overflow. There is a hadith in Tafsir al-Alusi, Tafsir Ruh al-Ma'ani, the author of the name is Imam Alusi rahmatullahi alayhi. He narrates on the authority of Ubay bin Ka'ab radiyallahu anhu that he said, these six things will take place before the Day of Judgment, and the sequence will be, بَيْنَمَ النَّاسُ وَفِي أَسْوَاقِهِمْ, people will be in their regular business, trade, as they normally walk every day out of their home, go to the market, to their business place. إِذْ ذَهَبَ ضَوْءُ الشَّمْسِ, all of a sudden, the sun will lose its light. Of course, when the sun will lose its light, so people will see the stars, so in the daytime will become like a night. فَبَيْنَمَا هُمْ كَذَلِكَ إِذِنْ كَذَرَتِ النُّجُومِ, as they will be in the same situation, the stars will lose the light. As people will be afraid by the situation that they are facing, بَيْنَمَا هُمْ كَذَلِكَ إِذْ وَقَعَتِ الْجِبَالُ عَلَىٰ وَجْهِ الْأَرْضِ, as they will be in that situation and everything is dark, the sun and the stars have lost the light, the mountains will start falling down on the earth, on the ground. Because of the falling of the mountain, the earth will start shaking. And as we know that these mountains are to hold the earth in the place, to stabilize the earth, they are like nails, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that in Surah An-Naba, Amma Yatasa'alun. وَالْجِبَالَ أَوْتَادَ, وَتَدْ is a nail. We have made the mountains as nails. So, the mountains will start falling down. They will be breaking apart. And, because of the falling of the mountains, the earth will start shaking. Because of the shaking of the earth, all the people will be afraid. And people will start running here and there. Jinns will come to human beings, and human beings will be talking to jinns, because this will not be anything of fear anymore, because everyone is afraid, and they are afraid of something different now. So these people, all of these jinns and ants will be talking to each other, and all the beasts, animals, birds will come towards the human being because they would like to get refuge somewhere. And everything is falling apart. So finally, as all of them will get together, jinns will say to the human beings that you people cannot go there too fast to find out the news. Let us go and find out the news. And as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith, Shaitan has his throne on the ocean, in the water. So jinns always, they stay close to the water or in the oceans. So they will go towards the ocean to see if they can find someone over there to get the news from. As they would get over there, they will see all the oceans are caught on fire. There is nothing other than fire in the oceans. As they will be in the same situation, they will see the earth breaking apart. Up to now, the only thing that was in place was the earth. Now the earth will start breaking apart, and all of a sudden, a wind will blow with a strong noise that will take people's life, and that will be the Day of Judgment, which is the second blowing of the trumpet, or the first blowing of the trumpet. So this will be the sequence of these, as Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu anhu have narrated it. So after these things will take place, the Day of Judgment will take place. This will be the Day of Qiyamah. We need to remember the difference between the Day of Qiyamah and the Day of Judgment. The Day of Qiyamah is the day that every person will die, and the last day of this universe, then the people will be brought to life, and that will be Yawm al-Hisab. As people will come, be brought back to life, of course a lot of things will be taking place. People will come out of their graves and they will start walking to find where to go, and all the human beings will assemble in one open space because everything has broken apart before that, and the whole world is just one open space. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Kahf, إِنَّا جَعَلْنَا مَا عَلَى الْأَرْضِ زِينَةً لَهَا لِنَبْلُوَهُمْ أَيُّهُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Whatever you see in the universe is just a beauty of this life to test people and see who would do the good deeds and who will forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of these things. وَإِنَّا لَجَاعِلُونَ مَا عَلَيْهَا صَعِيدًا جُرُزًا. Whatever is on the earth will all be destroyed, and the whole world will become one open space. Sa'idan Jaruza. It will be just an open space. So people will assemble over there. They will get together over there. And now the judgment will start. A lot of details are there for the judgment and the day of judgment. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions few things that will be taking place on the day of judgment. Wa idhan nufus zuwijat. The first thing is an-nufus. Nafs means a life, a human being, a person. An-nufus zuwijat, all the souls or all the human beings will be separated in groups. According to Mufassirin, this means that every group of people will be together, like virtuous people will be together. Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam will be in their groups. Sulaha will be in their group. Shuhada will be in their group. Kuffar will be in their groups. So all the people will get into their groups. Zawwaja yuzawwiju means, we call it to marry. Zawaj is married. Which means to put two things together, two people together. Nufus zawwijat, people will be put together. Human beings will be put together. Put together how? In their own groups. So no person will be allowed to go and join other groups. Here in this life, we claim to be part of other groups and we join any group. Especially, you see the politicians, they will go to the school and talk about education. They will come to our masjid and will pray with us. They will go to the church and they will worship like those Christians. They will go to the synagogues and admire Jews and their ibadahs. So wherever they go, they pretend that they like this group, they love this group, and they are with this group. But over there, each person will be only with the group that he really belongs to. As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith, that on the day of judgment, every person, al-mar'u ma'a man ahabba, every person will be standing with those people whom he loves. This hadith was mentioned when a sahabi came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, sometimes we love people and we cannot be with them. In his heart, he meant that I love you, Ya Rasulullah, I cannot be with you. And especially in the Akhirah, Ya Rasulullah, I won't be able to stay with you because you will be too high in the Jannah and I can't get closer to you, no matter what I do. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-mar'u ma'a man ahabba. Every person will be with those whom he loves. According to the hadith, that will be one of the happiest days Sahaba have seen in their lives. Because they all loved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they all figured out from this hadith that inshallah, because of our love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we will be with him. But at the same time, this hadith tells us that whichever group we love, God forbid, a person loves any group of non-Muslims, in spite of being Muslim, that person will not be allowed to stand with those Muslims. He will be only allowed to stay with those non-Muslims. And in other hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, مَنْ تَشَبَّهَ بِقَوْمٍ حُشِرَ مَعْهُمْ. Whoever resembles any nation will be brought on the day of judgment with those people. If the resemblance through our physical dress, actions, everything that we do in our life is of Muslims, of virtuous people, we will be allowed to go with them, otherwise we won't be allowed. So two conditions. One is our resemblance. The second is our love. If one of the two is missing, that person will not be allowed to go and be with those people on the Day of Judgment. So إِذَا النُّفُوسُ زُوِّجَتْ. When groups are put together, people will be put in their own groups. وَإِذَا الْمَوْءُودَةُ سُئِلَتْ. Now when all the groups are put together, وَإِذَا الْمَوْءُودَةُ سُئِلَتْ. When the girl buried alive will be questioned. بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ. For what sin she was killed. مَوْءُودَة. مَوْءُودَة is the girl that was buried alive. Wa'd means in the Arabic language, the word wa'd. Ma'uda is driven from the word wa'd. And wa'd means a lot of burden. And the girls that were buried alive, they are called ma'uda because they were thrown under the ground and they were buried under so much dust that because of the weight of it and because of the burden of it, they would die. So they are called Mawuda. The ayah says, those girls that were buried alive will be questioned, بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ. For what sin she was killed. Most of the people who will look at the translation of the ayah will have a question that why she is questioned. Why not the person who have buried her alive? She did not do anything wrong. Why is the questioning directed to her? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pointing in this ayah to a very important fact. And the fact is, in this life, we do so many things to those people who can never do anything back to us and have no witnesses, no way of proving what was done to them. If they would speak, no one would listen to them. No one would like to listen to those people either, because they have no power of speech, they have no way of conveying their message, and their message seems to be so weak that we cannot trust them, we cannot take their words for it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment, according to this ayah, He's telling us that He is going to bring even the wickedest person in the world that was punished and was done wrong to the person, even that person will be brought to justice, and justice will be given to even those people on the Day of Judgment, that even though the fathers buried them alive and they had no witnesses, no one to talk on their behalf, on the Day of Judgment, many of them won't even know what was done to them exactly, but because it's the Day of Judgment, they know exactly what was done to them because it's the Day of Judgment. In this life, if you would ask them, what is it that your father is doing it to you, they won't even know that this is exactly what the father means to do. But even justice will be brought to those people, those with children who are buried alive and they don't even know what was done to them. That simply means any type of wrong deed will be brought up on the Day of Judgment. The second thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us in this ayah, وَإِذَا الْمَوْءُودَةُ سُئِلَتْ, the girls buried alive will be questioned. As Allama Alusi rahmatullahi alayhi says in his tafsir, that these girls will be questioned and not the person who have buried them, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to show His anger on those fathers who have buried their daughters alive, that He does not even want to talk to those fathers. He doesn't want to talk to them. So He's not going to question them. They're standing. He is brought to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and his daughter is brought there, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask the daughter, tell me, what did your father do to you? And he doesn't even want to talk to the father. He will throw them right into the hellfire. وَإِذَا الْمَوْءُودَةُ سُئِلَتْ. And as we know, it was the custom in Arabia that they used to bury the daughters alive. As a person came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Ya Rasulullah, I don't think that Allah will ever forgive me. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, why would you say this? Ya Rasulullah, my sins are way too many and too big. I don't think Allah will ever forgive me for my sins. He can forgive anyone else, but not me. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, but tell me, what was your sin? Allah will forgive any sin. What was your sin? He said, Ya Rasulullah, in the days of Jahiliyyah, before becoming Muslim, I had a daughter. When I had that daughter, I was out of my town. When I left, my wife was pregnant. When I came back, I asked her about my daughter, about the delivery and the child she has delivered. So she said the child have died. She made an excuse. After some years, once she asked me, and she gave our daughter to our neighbor in order for them to take care of her. So when I came back, after a few years, she asked me, she said, see the beautiful girl that our neighbor had? Would you like to have one like her? I said, yes, why not? She's so pretty, nice girl, you know. I wish if we have one like her too. So after confirming it from me many times by talking to me again and again about the situation, finally one day she came up and she told me that this is our daughter. Remember the time when you went out on a journey and I was pregnant? This is our daughter. I loved it in the beginning, but later on something came to my mind and I said, no, I'm not supposed to have a daughter. So therefore, when she was about 6 years old, one day I took her with me and I dig a big hole like a grave. I threw her in there. As I was digging the grave for her and the hole for her,
She was cleaning, the dust was getting on my clothes, on my beard, and she was cleaning my clothes, and she was telling me, Dad, what are you doing? Your clothes are getting dirty. And I continued digging the hole, because I knew I cannot have a daughter. It's the custom. And these customs and traditions make the person do anything. As I heard people saying, which is very true, that traditions and customs are a religion by itself. When the person starts following his traditions and his customs, it's just like if he's following a religion. And for customs and traditions, the only proof that person needs is وَجَدْنَا أَبَاءَنَا كَذَلِكَ يَفْعَلُونَ. We have found our forefathers doing it. And because of people of our nation, our background, our forefathers doing it, we do it just on that base, and we don't, the person is not willing to hear anything else against that. So, the 6-year-old girl, and you can imagine, beautiful girl, 6 years old, you know, how innocent these children and especially the girls are. And he's digging the hole for her, and she's cleaning his clothes, and finally, he says, I threw her in there and I started putting the dust on her. So she asked me, Dad, what are you doing to me? So I quietly kept on throwing the dust on her, and she finally realized that I'm trying to kill her. So she says, Dad, you don't have to keep me with you. Dad, just let me go. I can go and live with someone else. I used to live with those people before. I can go and live with them. I'm not going to be a burden on you. Just let me go to somewhere else. I'll live my own life. But without hearing a word from her, I buried her alive. And up to this day, I can remember her crying when she was getting buried. And she was crying, and her cry when she was dying. Hearing this, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started weeping. How could you do this to your child? So this is how that was the... They had the tradition and their custom of burying their children, their daughters, alive. According to the histories, some of them used to bury them just from the very first day. Even to the extent that sometimes the mother, parents used to keep the hole ready. And mothers at the time of delivery, if they would see that this is a baby girl, they will just throw her in that hole and bury her alive. Imagine the rudeness. And even though we feel that these things can never be repeated, but if we look at the news of today, we'll find out that thousands of children are killed alive just the same way. Are killed just the same way. And because of the chemicals through the new weapons that they are throwing, thousands of children are suffering of burns and different diseases that people like us, human beings like us, are causing it, and they are doing it, and they are celebrating that they have done something great. It's happening today in our age. And we also know that thousands of children are getting sold in order for the people to get the parts of their body and sell different parts of their body and use them for different researches and for different treatments. Why? Because the researches were important. They have to continue with their knowledge and with their science. And thousands of children get stolen from their parents from different places. Sometimes parents are so much in burden that they have to sell their children, and all what they do to them is kill these children to get different parts of their body. The beauty of Islam from the very first day has told us that this type of transplanting, or what you call it, to the passing the different parts of the body,
donation.
The donation of these organs is not allowed. Because even though nowadays we find it in the hospitals, we find it ready. But in order for people to make it available for us, they don't only use the right sources, they use any source because there are people who want to make money. And if they can make money by selling the organs of the children and kill those children, they do it. So, even though it was that jahiliyyah, but similar jahiliyyah is getting repeated. In fact, it's worse jahiliyyah that we see nowadays when these children are suffering of different things and disease and burns, and they have to die in that situation, spend years in that situation. Nations are sick and in the hospitals and handicapped just because of what these people are trying, the chemicals and medicines that they have to try on people. So anyway, this will be also part of that question on the Day of Judgment. I don't remember the name of the book. The book is written in America. Inshallah, we'll get the name of that. The book is written in America by one of the people who is in the country, and he was involved in the government also, and is a native of this country. He says in that book that even the AIDS did not stand by itself. He said, according to the American army and their scientists, AIDS started from animals. He said, this disease and the germs that this disease carry can never be established and stayed in animals. He has proven that they can never be established and stayed from animals. He said, animals throughout history have been doing this type of act. That every animal will go to other animals and animals will stay together, sleep together. He says, they never caught this disease. He says, this disease is man-made. And he says, the first time they made this disease was over here in this country. And they applied it first in Africa by vaccinating people over there, saying that they have a lot of diseases spreading, and vaccinating them with type of vaccination that carried these germs of AIDS over there. And this is how they started spreading it. Anyway, this is all part of Maw'udatu Su'ilat. The girls buried alive will be questioned that for what sin, بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ, for what sin she was killed. And all of these people will be questioning on the Day of Judgment for what sin they were killed. What sin they have done for which they would go and apply these type of medicines on them that will carry these germs of diseases. وَإِذَا الْمَوْءُودَةُ سُئِلَتْ بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ. How did this start of burying the daughters alive, and how did they get this idea of doing it? Inshallah, we'll talk about it after Salah. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وإذا الموؤودة سئلت بأي ذنب قتلت. We were talking about those girls that were buried alive, that they will be questioned on the Day of Judgment, that for what sin they were buried alive. And I mentioned the reasons that why she will be questioned and not the one who have buried her. As I said before Salah, there is one more point that we need to discuss in regarding to the subject, which is, how did the Arabs get this idea of burying their daughters alive? According to Tafsir Ruh al-Ma'ani, he says that there was a clan of Arabs that was called Rabi'ah. Once someone, another clan, attacked this clan of Rabi'ah, and the daughter of their leader was also captured by the enemies. when he got his daughter back, or in fact, after that, they were doing some treaty between the two clans. So one of the conditions in the treaty was that they have to return that girl back to this leader. So the daughter has to come back to her father. So the opposition said, instead of this, we would put that they would question, they will give the girl the choice to go back to her parents. So they agreed to it, and of course the father agreed to that because he knew that my daughter would come back to me and she will never accept to stay with her enemies. But when they asked her, because she was already living with a person there, when they asked her, she decided to stay with that person and not to go back to her parents. So this leader of Rabi'a, he was so upset, and he said, daughters normally, if they get into that situation, it will be difficult for them to come back to their fathers because they can't show their face to their fathers with being lived with another man. So he said, even in future, the same thing can be repeated in these different clans. So he said, he asked all the people in his clan to start killing the daughters, and this is how this tradition started. In other words, if you would like to make it simple, we might say that instead of finding the right way of educating their daughters and protecting their daughters and the respect and the honor of their daughters, they started killing them.
وَإِذَا الْمَوْؤُودَةُ سُئِلَتْ بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ وَإِذَا الصُّحُفُ نُشِرَتْ. When the books,
and books means books of deeds, good and bad.
وَإِذَا الصُّحُفُ نُشِرَتْ.
When the books will be laid open, all the books will be in front of the people. Whatever we have done in our life, everything will be there in front of us. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Kahf, that on the Day of Judgment, as people will see their books of deeds, وَوُضِعَ الْكِتَابِ فَتَرَى الْمُجْرِمِينَ مُشْفِقِينَ مِمَّا فِيهِ. Wrongdoers will be afraid of whatever is in the book, the contents of the books, because it will have each and every sin that we have committed in our life. وَيَقُولُونَ. And those wrongdoers will say, مَا لِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ. What type of book is this? لَا يُغَادِرُ صَغِيرَةً وَلَا كَبِيرَةً إِلَّا أَحْصَاهَا. It has brought every big and small. Everything that was big and small that we have done in our life, it's over there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَوَجَدُوا مَا عَمِلُوا حَاضِرًا. Allah did not add anything into that book. وَوَجَدُوا مَا عَمِلُوا حَاضِرًا. Whatever they have done, they will find it in front of them. وَلَا يَظْلِمُ رَبُّكَ أَحَدًا. Allah does not wrong any person. So, وَإِذَا الصُّحُفُ نُشِرَتْ. There was a time when people used to object to this belief of our iman. This is our iman, this is our aqidah, that all the books will be presented to people and everything that we do in our life will be presented to us on the Day of Judgment, that this is what you have done. There was a time when people used to object that where does your Lord keep all of these books? Each person must have millions of pages. And if all of this is getting written, then you need big storage for that. People are tired of keeping their file cabinets for the small offices, and they don't have space to keep all the files. And here, we are saying, each and every deed, each and every word that a person have done in his or her life will be written in that book, and all of those books are being saved, and they are presented, they will be presented. But nowadays, the computer has solved this problem. That a small chip of the computer has the whole library, can carry the whole encyclopedias of hundreds of volumes. So, this tells us that anything that seems impossible, which is nothing impossible, is out of that dictionary of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is nothing in that dictionary called impossible. And things that seems to be difficult to us, we have to realize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does those things in His ways. And if we can invent a small chip that have all of these informations, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not even need that much chip to keep the record of the whole universe. He doesn't even need that much of chip to keep the record of the whole universe. So, and same thing with every other thing that normally people would object to because of the lack of understanding. And of course, many times, because of the limitations of our sources of knowledge, we cannot go beyond our limits. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no limits. For us, outside of this wall and underneath this carpet, is all hidden. We don't know none of these things. I don't even know what's under the carpet. Might be something harmful. I don't know it. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's knowledge is not limited to this carpet or what's under the carpet or even what's beyond that. There is no limit of the knowledge. One of my teachers used to give a beautiful example, and I love that example. He used to take his point out, pin out when he would talk about unseen things by human beings and the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He used to take his pen out and tell us that, see the ink that's used in this pen? He used to say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows at what time, in which rain it came down. How did it travel? In which ocean did it go to? How did it get to the person who used it in this ink? And what other drops of water came with it, and where are the other drops of water now? And where this water was mixed, this water that's used in this ink, where was it mixed, and how it was driven from there, and after getting written, after writing from it, which drop of the water will be used for what writing? He says, all of these details are there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows all of these, which simply means no limit.
وَإِذَا الْمَوْءُودَةُ سُئِلَتْ بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ وَإِذَا الصُّحُفُ نُشِرَتْ. All the books of these will be laid open. وَإِذَا السَّمَاءُ كُشِطَتْ. And when the heaven will be opened. كَشِطَ means to take off the clothing. And therefore some people have translated this, وَإِذَا السَّمَاءُ كُشِطَتْ. They have translated it as, and when the heaven shall be stripped off. Which simply means opened. And open means up to this point and up to the day of judgment, there is a barrier between this world and the heaven and what's beyond the skies. All of these barriers will be taken away. Now everything will become one, because we all now will be going back to the same place. And now there is no barrier between these won't be two different worlds anymore. It will all become one. وَإِذَا السَّمَاءُ كُشِطَتْ. The heaven will be open. And which simply means, once the heaven is open, then وَإِذَا الْجَحِيمُ سُعِّرَتْ. People will see the hellfire, and hellfire will be lighted. There will be even more fire to it. وَإِذَا الْجَنَّةُ أُزْلِفَتْ. And the paradise will be brought closer. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in another ayah of Quran al-Kareem, وَأُزْلِفَتِ الْجَنَّةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ غَيْرَ بَعِيدٍ. And the paradise will be brought closer to the people, to the virtuous people, لِلْمُتَّقِينَ غَيْرَ بَعِيدٍ. It won't be far from them. So, السَّمَاءُ كُشِطَتْ. The heaven will open. جَنَّةٌ and جَهَنَّمُ. Everything will be in front of the people now. And nothing will be hidden from us. So everything that's hidden now, it will be visible to us at that time. عَلِمَتْ نَفْسٌ مَا أَحْضَرَتْ. Once people will see that, every person will know what he has done and what he has brought. Ma ahdarat, ahdara yuhduru means what he have brought. So every soul will know what he have brought or what she have brought, which simply means we all will know each and every deed of our life, will remember everything that we have done in our life, and this brain won't be forgetful anymore. That might be the day that all of us wish, if I cannot remember none of these things. Today we hope that our brain becomes excellent and the memory becomes excellent. We don't forget anything in our life, even though we have to realize that even forgetting is sometimes a great blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise,
If all the hardship that we have in our life, our parents dying, sometimes many of us might have lost our father, our parents, grandparents, or sometimes different relatives, different hardships in the life, if we never forget those things, we'll always be in hardship. So, sometimes forgetting is good also, but of course, not as much as at least I can say about myself, I forget. We forget too much nowadays. But on that day, nothing will be forgotten. And people will remember everything that they have done. There is an ayah of Quran al-Kareem that I'm trying to remember. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, on that day, people will be hoping, I can't remember the exact wording, people will be hoping if there was a big distance, the distance of the whole world between them and their deeds. They would like to see their deeds far away. If they're in the east, they would like their deeds to be in the west, so that they can see their deeds and no one can judge them for their deeds. But unfortunately or fortunately, that's the only thing we will have with us from this universe. The only thing we have from this world with us will be our deeds, nothing else. As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith, every person has three friends in this life. One friend leaves him as soon as he dies. The second friend joins him up to his grave. And the third friend goes with him from this world and continues the journey with him and stays with him forever. The first friend is the wealth. As soon as we die, the wealth leaves us alone. Now it all belongs to the other people. The second friend are our relatives, friends, and all of these people. They come with us up to our grave. Then they leave us. No one is willing to come with us under the ground. The third friend are our deeds, and these deeds will join us even in the grave, and they will stay with us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us of this fact, that we should choose these friends. عَلِمَتْ نَفْسٌ مَا أَحْضَرَتْ. Everything also will leave us alone. The only thing that will come with us are our deeds. So we have to be very careful what deeds are we carrying with us when we are going on that long journey. We need to remind ourselves every day, we all are going for that journey. Normally when we go on a journey, how careful we are what we take with us and what we don't. Anything that we feel we will have problem within customs, we won't take it. If we have any idea that they might give me hardship because of having this, carrying this thing with me in the customs, I won't take it with me. It's better to leave it back. Also, anything that we feel that will be too heavy and too much burden and I have to travel all of this distance, we won't take it with us because it's too heavy and I don't want to carry all of this burden with me. We got to remember, the longest journey we have is the journey of Akhirah. And over there, we will have to carry all of our deeds. And these deeds, they will be very heavy if they are bad deeds. On our shoulder, they will be very heavy. And we will have to carry them on our shoulders on the Day of Judgment. And if the person cannot carry them, then the only place, wal'ayazu billah, for that person is the hellfire. So, this is what we have to judge ourselves for, that what are we carrying from this life into the Akhirah, what is it that we are taking with us, and what is it that we are preparing ourselves to judge, to be judged for by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give all of us tawfiq to follow the virtuous life in this life, and to follow the good deeds and the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the good morals of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.